I'm on the line with Adil Shekrawi. Adil Shekrawi was under a security certificate since 2003, but recently was vindicated. The security certificate was dropped. Adil, welcome to No One's Legal Radio.
Hi. Nice to meet you.
Adil, this is the first time that we can actually chat because under your previous conditions, you were prevented from speaking with people like myself who might have a criminal record. So it's a pleasure to finally be able to speak with you and to solicit your views.
Yes, it's a pleasure to enjoy my freedom.
I'd like to say congratulations, and I will, but it's kind of weird to say congratulations when this should never have happened in the first place. So tell our listeners, I'll offer my congratulations, but do tell our listeners the situation that you're in now. What happened in the last few weeks that has drastically changed the situation you're in vis-a-vis the security certificate?
But my nightmare stopped, I will tell you, since 14 October when the judge declared revoked my security certificate. But I can tell you that even before when I cut my shameful bracelet, I started to be more free, and I could finally enjoy my freedom after years and years of detention, of surveillance, of wearing this bracelet and respecting 40 conditions for more than 4 years and a half. So it's finally I could have more freedom. But I will tell you that I'm free now. I have no conditions. I can go everywhere. But the government didn't really recognize this decision, because until now I didn't get any apology from the government. The CITES still sending false information about me to the media. Their new director sent an open letter to Ottawa citizens talking about my case. And last week he did a speech in Toronto and he talked again about me. So this is really shameful for the Canadian justice system. We have the courts who give me finally my freedom and some justice, but CITES didn't really recognize the decisions of their own courts.
Could you speak a bit more, Adil, about the role of CITES, the Canadian Security and Intelligence Service? There's all kinds of different levels of the Canadian government that are involved. On the political level, on the bureaucratic level, but the Canadian Security Intelligence Service seems to play a unique role in this case with you. Could you describe that role from the very beginning when they began to, I would describe, harassing you and harassing your family?
But everything started when I asked for the Canadian citizenship in 1999. Since this time, I felt to be followed by cars. I noticed that a lot of my friends stopped calling me, and I started also losing jobs, and I didn't realize at the time that I was followed by CITES agents. I didn't even know that CITES exist at this time. But after I was released, I talked with some friends and some neighbors, and they told me that they received many visits from CITES agents showing my picture and telling them this guy is really, really dangerous. Don't talk to him. Can you give us more information about him? So, it started in 1999, but I cannot have evidence to show it, because at this time I didn't know about my case. But after 9/11. They became more aggressive, and they started asking me to meet with them in the immigration building in 1010 South Antoine. And there they started asking me questions about myself, my family, my opinion, my religious beliefs, my political opinions, and showing me also pictures for the Muslim community, asking me about people in my community. So I met with them perhaps 5 or 6 times. I didn't really remember. In the beginning, it was in the building. After they started building of immigration, Canada. After they started visiting me in my job, and I told them that I don't want to see them in my house, so they never came to my house. They were just waiting for me near my job or my house. And when I realized that they're not they're not really doing any investigation, they just want to have more information about innocent people, and they want to push me to become a snitch. I told them, go to the hell, and I don't want to work with you, because my vocation is to be teacher, not a snitch on my own community. They gave me some threat, and they told me clearly that if I don't work with them, I will never be Canadian citizen, and I will be deported to my own country. So I, this time, I didn't know about security certificate. I told them, no way, I'm landed immigrants, my parents are Canadian, my sister is Canadian, I have a daughter with Canadian, so all my family now are living in this country for a long time, and how can you deport me? Because just I don't want to collaborate with you against innocent people. So after 2003, I understood that those people are really powerful here in Canada, and they are, I will tell you, they don't respect any law, any ethics, any rules. They are doing what they want, and they have, I will tell you, comment dire, carte blanche to do what they want. But I was really lucky to get support of many activists, and Dagi, you were one of them. So I... and the Coalition Justice for Sharka, we did a great job, and many, many other associations like No One Is Illegal or Solidarity Cross Border, the Muslim Council of Montreal, CAF, CARECAN, lots of other, La Ligue des Droits et Libertés. So all those NGOs and activists for social justice started working with my family, and we did a great campaign, and I was also lucky to get wonderful lawyers who really didn't fear to say the truth in the court, and to show that it was big injustice to put me in this nightmare. So we started our campaign in 2003. Since the first day when I was put in jail, I called the media, and I told them this is a witch hunt, and this is a new form of McCarthyism. Those people, they are not fighting terrorism. They're just fighting to get a bigger budget, and they are using me like a tool. And I'm asking Canadians to be smarter, and don't trust those people. If they have any evidence against me, I'm challenging them to show it to the public and to let me defend myself. But to arrest me. In the base of secret evidence, this is shameful for a country like Canada. Are we going to have now secret trials after all those years of justice and check and balance? So I will tell you, it was a long shot, and finally we could achieve something wonderful. We won twice in the Supreme Court, and we forced them to change their own policy to respect the charter. And the Supreme Court also declared this law inconstitutional. Unfortunately, the government, we didn't get a good government. So the conservative government just rewrite another law with the special advocates. And our slogan at this time was no circ, no clown. We didn't want any new legislation based on the circ, the César. The Committee of Supervising Activities of CSIS, or what we call the clowns. It means a special advocate, an advocate that I will not choose, but the government will choose it for me, and they will he will be introduced to the secret hearing to not to defend me, but just to have an idea about those evidence. So I'm telling you in some sentences, perhaps 7 years of sufferance, of struggle, of campaign, of demonstrations, of of conferences, of a lot of interviews, a lot of lobbying, a lot of camp, popular camp, and workshops. So I think we it was a nightmare, but it was also a fantastic experience of learning how to become more citizen, more involved in the community. So I lost a lot, but I also learned a lot during all those years.
Adil, while we celebrate your victory, we know that there are other families, other men who are affected by security certificates, one of whom is still in detention. And throughout this process, there's been solidarity between all those families. The government, CSIS in particular, likes to play divide and rule, and you refuse to play that divide and rule game. You've been vindicated, but I'm wondering if you could share a few words about the other men and the other families with their supporters that are still fighting for vindication and to have the security certificate finally lifted.
I would say that a lot of people are saying it's a victory. Yes, this is a victory, but how can we celebrate today and Mahjoub is doing hunger strike for more than 100 days? How can we celebrate and Harkat and Zaballah and Al-Mar'i still wearing shameful bracelets? It's really difficult for us to celebrate because it's not the end of this injustice here in Canada. And we can be celebrating when this law will be abolished, when those people will be released, when they will get not just the freedom but the justice and the recognition of the mistakes of the police state. So it's I will tell you what, we are going to have a celebration 26th November in the community center in downtown, and we are inviting all the activists and all people are listening to your broadcast to come. They are all invited, but this is a celebration not just to have a fun but to also reflect on how to have a very strong campaign and to help other people. If certainly for them, they are living in Ontario. In Ontario, it's not the same context. Here in Quebec, I will tell you that people are fundamentally against secret trials, but there I did the Canadian tour and I found that in Ontario, people are, even activists, they don't have the same level of critical sense like Quebecers. So sometimes they're accepting some of not evidence but allegations in the government, from the government, from CSIS. So they need more education, I think, to find the what is true behind those four cases. You cannot detain somebody for 8 or 9 years without giving him a trial, without showing him evidence, without letting him cross-examining the informants. We cannot believe it. It's indefinitely detention without any respect of rules of law. And I will tell you that we want to celebrate, yes, but it's our hearts are not ready for celebrations. So we're just using these moments perhaps to reflect on our campaign and to see what we can do for the future of other people who are suffering from this injustice.
Adil, you spoke about how various activists, various social justice communities supported you throughout this process. And I think some of them now rely on your advice and your counsel. CSIS, for example, has been making very, very active visits within activist communities in anticipation of the upcoming Winter Olympics and people who are going to resist. I'm wondering if you can share for us your advice on dealing with CSIS. Clearly, you had to deal with them in a much more precarious position because you didn't have your citizenship yet. But CSIS is also visiting people who don't have that problem. They have their citizenship. Their citizenship will not be revoked. Can you share your thoughts about when CSIS comes knocking?
When CSIS comes. This is, I think, a very important thing to reflect on it. I'm asking all my friends and all the activists of social justice and all people who are struggling for more dignity and for more justice, not to talk to those people directly without a lawyer. This is very important. You cannot trust them. Don't play the hero. With those people, I did a big mistake. You cannot trust them. They are big liars. They can lie. They can record the conversation and destroy the tapes and make summaries and destroy the summaries and make some analysis of those summaries. So it's really, really important not to talk to them. You must have with you a lawyer. This is really important. And I will tell you that even if you have a lawyer, try to record the conversation and keep it in the file. It's important for your protection. And I'm not scaring anybody. I'm not scared at all from those people. But we don't need to let them have more budget based on stupid words. You can just record people and have more power and more, and it's like a vicious circle. So we don't want to collaborate in this vicious circle. We don't want them to have more budget and to be more involved in our own privacy. So it's really important first not to talk to them except with the lawyer. The second point, I would tell you that it's really important also to enjoy our freedom of expression and not to be paranoiac. Sometimes I notice that some activists started to be paranoiac, not to use the phone, not to use. I was really surprised to see it even in Canadians. So in the beginning, I thought it was just in my own community when people are illegal or they are not citizens. But after my experience, I noticed that even it started to be present within Canadians. So this is also disturbing. We don't have to be paranoiac, but we have to be, wiser and smarter than those people. This is a very small advice I want to give to all my friends and your listeners.
Adil, it's again a pleasure to be able to talk to you directly now that your conditions are gone and you've been vindicated. Thank you for taking the time to speak with us on No One Is Legal Radio.
I really want to thank you, Jagi, and to thank all your listeners and all activists from No One Is Illegal. It's really, they're really doing a great job to the community. Thank you.